Now let's begin.
Podcast listener, and welcome back to Trek 1701, a Star Trek podcast. I am the main host. My name is Chris Lockhart, but I am not alone. We are a crew here at Trek 1701, and in no particular order, we'll go to Richard Szabo. How's it going, Richard?
Not bad. How you doing, guys? Ready for some Star Trek speak?
Yes. I would be melting if I was recording from my house, but I'm actually recording from my mom's basement because it's way cooler. Not that it's cool to be at my mom's house, but
you know what?
Temperature-wise,
temperature in my office is just slightly above comfortable, so it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. No. If I had to record from my house, normally I would record. Well, I can't record from my office because it's just way too hot in the summer. Secondary would be my bedroom, but I'd have to have a fans on. But if I have the fans on, you'll hear it in the podcast. So that's why I had to come over to my mom's, because otherwise I'd die without the fans. Right. Because we are still in a heat wave, unfortunately. That's why there's a bit of a delay in our episodes, because last one I had to cancel it because I was melting in my house. It was bad. And, I mean, today's pretty hot, too, but it definitely wasn't as bad as it was 2 weeks ago.
Do you have any kind of AC at work, Chris?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I got, like, because part of my job, I'm in a control room. So, like, when the heat wave started, I didn't even notice because I was AC all day with, you know, and it was nice. And then I go to, because I stay at my dad's when I go away to work. And his basement, I stay in his basement. It's always cool. So it's like, I knew it was hot outside, so I just stayed in the cold, which worked until I had to go home. Then it wasn't so great. Yeah. When I literally went to go grab a chocolate bar, and it, like, was melted inside the wrapper.
Ugh, like, that's always so gross.
Yeah, it was sludge. Yeah, it was bad. But that voice you hear is Ragnar. How's it going, Ragnar?
Oh, good. Hello, everyone.
And last but not least, we have Curtis Holloway. How's it going, Curtis?
It's going, but y'all are rookies. You got to put your chocolate bars in the fridge, man. I'm telling you, you'll never go back. And I'm a little sorry that we won't hear from you dachshund today.
I'm yeah. That. Yeah, you're scratching around. Yeah, no, not tonight. I actually started, like, when I found that chocolate bar, that's what I did. I threw my chocolate bars in the fridge, but normally, like, my house doesn't get super hot. Like, it's just, if it gets above 30, like, because normally, we rarely get above 30, you know, like, it's usually between 20 and 30. 20 and 30, my house is perfect, temperature-wise. But when you go over 30, it's just, like, my house just becomes, like, an oven at that point. Like, that's the first time I remember chocolate bars doing that in my house.
But, yeah, it's pretty bad when it happens in your home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, for this episode, we're talking about season 2.0 of Star Trek Enterprise. And by 2.0, that is essentially the first 13 episodes of the 26-episode season that is season 2. But before we get into discussing that, there's a couple of Star Trek things that have come up since our last broadcast, or podcast, I should say. First up, at the time of this recording, yesterday it was Sir Patrick Stewart's birthday. I think Global. 81. Yeah, 81. For some reason, Global put 79, I think, on their birthday thing. So that's, I went through the day thinking he was 79, and then I saw on Facebook it was 81, and then, yeah, I confirmed it. It's 81. But still going strong. You know, he's still going at it, and that's great. Which leads into our second news thing, and that is the trailer for Star Trek Picard Season 2. And, yeah. Q's back, which I would have been excited about had Season 1 actually been good.
So, real.
You know, so fingers crossed, but, you know, they showed clips of, you know, Seven of Nines in it again for some reason. I have no idea why.
And Data's quote-unquote daughter's
yeah. back. Yeah, and what's her name? The chick that murders people and gets away with it. She's back.
Yeah, let's just call her that from now on.
Yeah, and she throws up a lot. She throws up a lot, too. She
throws up.
The murderess?
Yeah.
She's in that show Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just watching. I'm like, hey, I don't hate her in this show.
Yeah, she's been in a few other things, too. I want to say she was in Scott Pilgrim.
She might have been.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, but she's been in a few other things. I just didn't like her character, you know, like...
Oh, no. It's garbage.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the actress, just a garbage character.
Yeah, and pretty much a garbage season.
Yeah.
You know, like, the first episode I was like, you know, like, you got the Romulans, you got, you know, there's a Borg cube, what are they doing with the Borg? You know, and I remember thinking, this might be actually not bad, but then I think it was episode 2 or 3, and I was like, yeah, this sucks. This is not, and especially in, I think it was episode 5 when they ripped out Ichab's eye.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even a Voyager fan. And I was, you know, and I was like, what are they doing? Like I knew of him, even though it was a different actor. Like, at first I didn't think it was the same character because it was a different actor, but I just, yeah, there's so many things that didn't make sense. Like, it really comes down to the writing. I think
the writing was terrible.
Yeah, I think production-wise it looked good.
They had a huge budget for special effects and stuff.
Yeah, and it looked good, and it had good actors in it. Like, I don't, you know, like I said, I think her name's Allison Pill, the murderer there. I do think she's a good actress. I just, you know, it's just her role was badly written.
Oh, that's being polite.
Yeah, and making Picard, you know, like a feeble, you know, husk of his former self, like it.
Oh, I was stupid.
Yeah. So for Season 2, like, seeing John DeLancey back, I'm pretty excited for that because I love John DeLancey as Q. And I'm interested to see how they explain, you know, because they didn't de-age him. He looks like John DeLancey as he is now, which is great, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, Q's immortal, so how do you explain why he looks older now?
Because it's probably going to be Q finding one more way to subtly mock Picard.
I'm assuming that's
I'm thinking so.
Yeah.
And Whoopi Goldberg apparently is going to be in this season as well.
Yeah, although she wasn't in the trailer.
No, she wasn't. I just know that because of Patrick Stewart being on The View, because he asked her. Mm-hmm. If she would be on Season 2, and she agreed, so I'm assuming she's going to be on Season 2. But yeah, you know, like, the first season, like, it made no sense why 7 of 9 was there, you know, and she just happens to run in Picard. Like, it didn't even have anything to do with the Borg cube. Like, I assumed it would have, but it didn't, even though she ended up there.
They had to tug on heartstrings to get an audience.
I guess so. They should have went.
Sorry, I'm like Mr. Pessimistic.
Yeah, they should have. They should have went for nostalgia because, like, it was great seeing Riker and Troy and everything, and you know, they definitely should have had more of that. But, like, I hate this modern television thing of everyone has to have a tragic backstory now.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, it feels that way.
Yeah, like Troy and Riker's kid had to die because, you know, they outlawed, you know, cybernetics or something. You know,
yeah, like, it was. Man, it was just, the whole thing was just so poorly conceived and so poorly written. Yeah. And then they took it, and then they had this terrible script, and then they gave it a huge budget. So yep. It looked amazing, but it was so dumb, and it didn't make sense, and it just made me angry. And I'm not going to, unless you, Chris, watch season two and tell me, dude, they fixed all the problems, you've got to watch it, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Unless that happens, I'm not even going to try it, because it left such a bad taste in my mouth.
Seconded.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't blame you guys. Like, I am going to try. That's like, they got that Star Trek New Worlds as well coming out with Anson Mount. And I love Anson Mount. Like, I love that guy.
He was one of the best parts of Discovery.
There were good parts in Discovery?
Well, yeah.
He did make a good Captain Pike.
Yeah, he was a very good Pike.
And I'm a huge fan of Hell on Wheels, so that's why it's like I gotta watch it, because he's in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hell on Wheels, that's Brent Spiner's show, right?
No, was Colm. Chief O'Brien. Was,
which one was Brent Spiner? He had a show too, right?
He was in, I want to say it was called Outcast, The Outcast, or something. It was like a horror show. I can't remember what it's called. I think it only had two seasons, but I know he was in it. It's a Robert Kirkman show that was on Cinemax, I want to say. Robert Kirkman being the guy who created The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And it is based on one of his comics. But yeah, no, Chief O'Brien, Colm Meaney, or Colm. I guess it's Colm.
I think it is pronounced Colm, but
yeah,
I have trouble with that.
Yeah, me too. I know Michael Dorn calls him Colm all the time, but
yeah,
it was filmed in Alberta, and it's Western, and he basically plays this like scuzzy railroad guy that is trying to make as much money, and Anson Mount comes in. He's like the mysterious stranger type of guy. Cause I think his wife and kids were murdered, and he goes after the people that murdered his kids. And then they were part of the railroad team or something. And then he ended up getting a job. Anyway, long story short, the guy who played Captain Pike and the guy who plays Chief O'Brien were in a Western together, and they were pretty, and they were really good at it.
Yeah, cool.
And it was filmed in Alberta, which is I love supporting an Alberta production, because
absolutely
it really looked good. You really did feel it. Like, it's without a doubt my favorite Western TV series for sure. But anyway, Star Trek Picard. I'm assuming 2022. Is coming out.
I don't think there's a, date attached yet.
Yeah, and I think they had a couple more trailers, but I never looked at them. Might have had a Discovery trailer.
I don't recall that, but
yeah, I don't remember.
I don't follow a lot of Star Trek things these days. Too much disappointment, man.
And, I mean, kudos to people who do like it, because I know Jason Roberts, he's one of my original co-hosts over at the Pop Culture Pub podcast. He put on Facebook just the other day that he's starting to watch Star Trek Discovery, and he actually likes it. And then he made some sort of funny comment, like, I could hear Chris screaming at his computer right now as he reads this. If people like it, I mean, you know, kudos to them, you know, like, I mean, I'm a Star Trek fan. I've been a Star Trek fan my whole life, but I don't like everything Star Trek. You know, and I really don't think you have to. You know, like I compare it to comic books. Like I'm a fan of the Incredible Hulk, but I don't like every Hulk comic ever made. There's a lot I don't like, but I think it's a little different with Star Trek because the original series, and Next Generation, you had that transition of, Gene Roddenberry, DC Fontana, Robert Justman, David Gerrold, they worked on the original series and then they worked on the, Next Generation in the beginning. And then eventually it got, and Rick Berman was there at the beginning of TNG. Eventually it got handed off to Rick Berman. Rick Berman brought in people. And, like, for example, Brannon Braga, he was brought in season 4 of TNG. And then he was one of the co-creators of Enterprise. So you had, this 30, 40 years almost of the same people being involved in the franchise. And then in 2009, you got brand new people taking it over, with J.J. Abrams and them. And they kind of took it in a different direction. But at the time I didn't mind because it was like an alternate timeline. So it was like, okay.
I got to say, I really appreciated that they made it an alternate timeline. So it's like, okay, they can muck stuff up.
And it doesn't matter.
Doesn't muck stuff up.
Yeah, exactly. It's
better than retconning pre-existing.
Oh, yes.
For some of us who get really into it, like, you know.
Which Discovery has done, because, you know, this is supposed to be a prequel to the original series. Whereas Enterprise, they mucked things up a little bit, but they tried to make it fit, right? Whereas Discovery is like, no, we're redesigning the Enterprise, we're putting a more awesome bridge in, we're modernizing it, and it just doesn't sit right with some people.
No, it doesn't make sense. It's because they're so not concerned with any kind of continuity.
Yeah.
Continuity used to be more important, even though there was some mistakes, but at least they tried. Now they're just like, you know what? Completely F off the entire Star Trek lore, and we'll build a new one for today's culture. You know what I mean?
And
you know what? If they had done that, but had had zero ties to existing Star Trek, like say instead of trying to say this happens 5 years before, you know, these events, like just say this happens like 100 years after the Next Generation, and it's in a different quadrant. Okay. Maybe I'm into that. Okay.
Not only that, but canonically, TNG gave us canonical evidence that there are an infinite number of alternate universes.
Yeah.
That all have Enterprises. They've all got, you know, there's ones that don't have the Federation at all. There's at least 10,000 that have the Federation, or however many ships were in that episode where poor Worf kept shifting between realities. You know the one.
Yep, parallels.
It's so many better ways they could have done it instead of, like, intentionally shitting on what has already been.
Yeah, and I mean, it's quite simple. They should have just said, this is a reboot. You know, what happened before, you know, everything's different now. You know, like, Spock can die. Maybe we won't see Captain Kirk, you know.
Or for some reason, Spock can be short and have a beard.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Exactly.
Sure, let's do that. That's fine.
But
nobody will know it's not the real Spock.
Yeah.
But of course they had to use Star Trek as sort of like a vessel, if you will, for this new type of show, because had they made a new show, they wouldn't have had an immediate following.
Yeah.
So they couldn't have just rebooted and made something else. They had to use an existing piece of history in order for people to actually be like, oh, okay, let's watch this. And then,
that or they just, they're not good writers and couldn't come up with anything on their own.
Well, that's been a problem for like 20 years.
Yeah.
They've basically been like scraping the bottom of the barrel for new stuff. And they've just been rebooting old stuff because they got nothing else left.
Yep.
Which sucks because there is good stuff out there. For example, The Expanse.
mm-hmm.
based on a book series, brought to life on television, is amazing, is well written, is well acted.
Yep.
So there are good ideas out there, and there are still good writers. It's just the people who give them the money are being dumb.
Well, and there's a series coming out this fall called The Foundation. It's based on the Isaac Asimov novels, The Foundation. The Foundation series. And it looks like it's going to be good. But, and then with all this going on, it's created a divide among Star Trek fans because, as you guys know, like, I think we're the same type of Star Trek fan where we don't love everything Star Trek. We are critical when things, obviously. But there are Star Trek fans out there, and we've all met them, that love everything Star Trek no matter what without question.
And then they get mad at you because you yes. don't like it for some reason.
Yes. And it really has created a divide among fandom. And to me, you know, like, as much as Alex Kurtzman can blame the fans, you know, oh, they just don't like anything new. No, we don't like anything crappy. You know, like,
yeah. if we wanted new. We want new. We want to see new ships and new aliens and new adventures. But we want it to not suck.
Yeah, if it had been good, it would have united the fan base. Like, in a lot of ways, kind of like what The Mandalorian's doing for Star Wars.
Yes.
You know? It.
I don't know if you could unite the fan base, given how exceptionally diverse it is. There's not going to be enough pleasing everybody, and that's part of the problem.
No, but you could have done a lot. You could have made the divide be a lot less wide.
Yeah. And
it's possible, yeah. Hopefully, I don't know if they'll ever fix it, but
it's gone too long. It's gone. Well, they've gone too far now.
Yeah, it's one of those things like
this where far, they kind of no father.
Yeah, they're at the point where they can't admit they fucked up. No. But you never know, like, because you know, there's this theory going around that. With The Mandalorian and all these spinoffs and stuff, that they're essentially going to be ignoring the sequel trilogy.
Yep.
Which is crazy when you think of how much money they spent on the sequel trilogy.
But they made all their money back a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now they can do that. They can afford to do that.
So, you know, there might be hope for Star Trek yet. You know, like I said, like, well, I didn't watch Lower Decks because to me that's just a silly...
I saw the trailer and I just rolled my eyes.
Yeah. Like I love Rick and Morty, but I don't want to see Rick and Morty Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that it's kind of an interesting kid show that may be like an introduction to Star Trek. Maybe.
No, but that's what Nickelodeon one that's coming out is going to be.
Yeah.
I forgot the name, but it is actually going to be a kid's show.
With Captain Janeway.
About Star Trek, and it's for kids to get into Star Trek, and it has Captain Janeway appearing as a hologram in it. That's going to be the show that will get kids into Star Trek.
So basically, it's like Magic School Bus, but Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, nothing's going to be as good as the Magic School Bus was.
Oh, no. Man, there's a good chance this thing will be terrible. But
I think...
of all the new Star Trek things that are coming out on TV, it's the only one I'm considering watching.
Yeah, whereas I think Lower Decks is more adult-oriented. Like, I don't think it has profanity or anything, or nudity, but it's more adult-themed, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But, yeah, I've never watched it because I just, you know...
On the note of newer sort of Star Trek-y things, I have a positive story I could share to counteract some of this negativity.
Sure.
If you guys don't mind.
Yep.
So I recently finished the audiobook for Ready Player One.
Oh, okay.
Which is narrated by Will Wheaton.
Cool.
And he did an amazing job narrating. I'm not a fan of him for the most part, but he did a really, really good job. Absolutely killed it. And the book is loaded with Star Trek references. It's a lot of fun. If you're any kind of a nerd or a geek or whatever, give it a try. Throw it on when you're driving to work or something, if you're lucky enough to still have a job. Yeah, no, I just finished it a few days ago, and it blew my mind. If you've seen the movie, it's nothing like the movie. The movie got the character names right, and that's about it.
Well, you know what's funny is I just got a copy of the book for my birthday.
Nice.
Yeah, I haven't started it yet, but...
It's yeah,
fantastic.
I've never read the book or seen the movie, so maybe I'll try the audiobook first. Just based on your recommendation, because yeah, I got a new audiobook I got to get at the end of the month, so maybe I'll pick that one.
Well, and I'm pretty hard to please, and I loved it.
Nice.
That's what she said.
I can second that. Curtis is very particular about most things.
He has standards. I'm
picky, is what I am.
What's that Which, like?
He's picky, but I don't know why I'm his best friend then. It doesn't make any sense. Must be the pity vote.
It wasn't so much a choice as a lack of options.
That makes more sense.
All right. So, if you guys are ready, we'll kick off the season 2 discussion.
Let's do it.
All right.
All right. So, first episode of the season, 27th of the series. Shockwave Part 2, Date Unknown, directed by Alan Croker, written by Rick Berman and Brannon Braga. Original air date September 18th, 2002. As a group of Suliban take over the Enterprise, Captain Archer tries to return to the 22nd century. It was a good episode. It was a good cliffhanger from season 1. Love the Suliban. Love the whole temporal cold war angle. I didn't mind this one. Richard, your thoughts?
I thought it was kind of cool. I like the idea of like him getting sent into the future, and the future is completely like bleak and destroyed, and they have to go searching through like ruins and old libraries and make some weird contraption out of like copper wires and such. I kind of would have liked a bit more, like, there's not a lot of time involved, but, but they would have been, I think it would have been cool to do a little bit more exploring and, like, maybe learn a little bit more about the future, but I thought it was pretty cool, and then the whole, like, you know, Archer's head, you know, broadcasting into the past, that was just,
I got a
kick out of that.
Yeah.
Especially to T'Pol, who was all messed up from, like...
Right?
Being tortured, and she was just repeating, like, the Vulcan science, whatever has determined that time travel is a scientific, whatever the hell. She couldn't process at all.
Yeah, I don't know if I would put it as, like, one of the best, like, two-parter seasonal gaps, but it was a good episode.
Yep.
And it was pretty serious, and yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
Or when Archer says to T'Pol, I still don't believe in time travel. And then he says, the hell you don't. Well, yeah, it was a good one. I liked it.
Yeah, like it had, like the first part had a good ending. Like when him and what's his name were looking out on the ruined Earth. I thought that was like, ooh, shit. That was a pretty good jaw dropper. But yeah, this two-parter could have easily taken place in the middle of a season for sure. Curtis, your thoughts?
Well, overall, I like the episode, but there's parts of it I enjoy, and there's parts of it that I don't enjoy so much. Topless Hoshi is pretty cool. Not going to say too much on that, but am I thinking of the right episode where she had to crawl around in the vents?
Yes, yeah. I think so, yeah.
And she dropped down, and her shirt got caught, and she went to Malcolm's quarters. And...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Topless
Hoshi.
That would have been an all right episode. Site.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of my criticism, though, I feel like that the way they left out part one was awesome, the way they left it off.
Yeah. And
it seemed like a little bit cheesy, easy, I don't know. I'm not okay with how easily and quickly it was resolved.
Yeah.
It seems like that was just too massive of a problem to be fixed by Captain Archer for some reason hitting what appeared to be a wooden ladle with a rock to, like, what the hell? I just don't get it. And I don't think Daniels' lines were particularly well done.
Yeah.
Like, it was all very kind of hammy, cheesy sci-fi. Like, I get it. It's Star Trek. That's okay sometimes, but it just didn't do it for me in this episode. Overall, not a bad episode, but there's some things I would have changed if I had to say.
Yeah, like, one of the things I would have changed was, like, why did the two time periods have to run parallel to each other? Like, Archer should have been there for, like, 10 years or something before he figured mm-hmm. out a way to get back.
Yeah, right? Like, that's one of the things, and it's because Star Trek happens in episodes. We understand that. Yeah. But as far as, like, the actual temporal mechanics of it all, like, you should have literally infinity time.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you run out, just go back and tell yourself all the crap you'd learned and start from there.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is that there's, in what we know of science, there's only a couple of different ways that time travel could work. And I don't know if Star Trek, I don't know if Enterprise has quite decided which way they want to go with it.
Well, if we're talking about known science, you can't even go as fast of light as light unless you are a photon. So we have to lend ourselves a little bit of suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, a little bit for sure. I do that for Star Trek, old Trek, but I couldn't do that for new Trek.
Yeah. Ragnar, your thoughts?
Well, similar to what Richard was saying, I really enjoyed, you know, the vision of the future where it was, you know, apocalypse and desolation and such. As a whole, I don't love season two. I like it more than season one, but for me, Enterprise doesn't really get all that good until season three, mm-hmm. and then season four is a banger. So, you know, it's an okay episode. Didn't hate it, but it didn't make me fall in love with the show.
Yeah. All right. Nothing wrong with that.
And you can pretty much copy and paste that for most of this season.
Excellent. All right, so the next episode is second of the season, 28th of the series, and that's Carbon Creek. The date is April 12th, 2152, directed by James A. Contner, written by teleplay by Chris Black, story by Rick Berman, Brandon Braga, and Dan O'Shannon. Original air date, September 25th, 2002. Sub-Commander T'Pol relates the tale of a Vulcan crew stranded on Earth in the 1950s. I liked this episode. It was a nice little, neat little episode. I liked, having, you know, T'Pol play her grandma, I want to say. Jolene Blaylock, you know, like, you know, I thought she did a good job in this episode. I thought it was fun and you know, I think one of the highlights of season two. Ragnar, your thoughts?
Well, Star Trek has always kind of been obsessed with, you know, doing stories that are set in a different time period.
Yep.
And sometimes they do it by using the holosuite, and sometimes they do time travel. I thought this was a pretty clever way of doing it. It wasn't time travel, and it wasn't the holosuite.
Yep.
It actually happened, just not to the characters in the show, to their ancestors.
Yep.
And I thought that was a really fresh take on you know, that concept. I liked it. I thought it was a good episode. I thought that was a clever way of doing it. A little bit slow paced. For example, in Deep Space Nine, the one where the Ferengis go back in time and there turns out they're the aliens from Roswell was much funnier and a little bit more interesting than this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a good take on a classic Star Trek trope.
To Excellent. Be fair, you get to be funny with the Ferengi. They really lend themselves to humor.
Whereas oh, yeah.
You can have a very particular yeah. flavor of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Curtis, what are your thoughts?
I'm with Ragnar. I like how they did a period episode without, you know, the usual conventional ways of doing it, yep. which is nice, because I like to see episodes like that, where you get to see the actors, or in this case, just one, but they're outside of their usual skin, sort of. Crap, I had something else, but okay, I'll move on to the next thing. One of the Vulcans, I can't remember, I think it was Mestral. Anyway, one of them was actually the same actor who played the futuristic Borg from Voyager, who was made out of Seven of Nine's nanoprobes and the Doctor's mobile emitter. Can't remember his name. But yeah, he plays one of the Vulcans, which was kind of cool. And I kind of think they had to pace it a little bit slower because these were new characters, and they had to give us reasons to care about them, to get invested a little bit, even if it was just for an episode. So I can understand why it sort of had to be slower paced. But it's, you know, it's definitely not a rock your socks off kind of episode, but that's okay.
Yep.
Overall, I liked it. Very enjoyable.
Excellent. And Richard, your thoughts?
You know, I watched this episode, I think, upon airing, and then probably again during my watch throughs again, and then most recently I watched it in my most recent watch through, which was just in this last year. And it's one episode that I can just remember. I remember watching it the first time. I remember basically the whole episode. It definitely was Mestral, and I think part of it was that he picked up a pool cue and became a shark in a minute.
And it had nothing to do with the fact that we could finally see an outline of T'Pol's boobies behind that sheet, I'm sure.
That probably helped. That probably helped. But for me, because when I just turned 18, a lot of the time I spent with my dad was going down to the pub and shooting pool. So, like, that's a big part of my life, and that's, like, it was impactful for me. And so, yeah, this episode, I don't remember if I liked it back then or if it was just memorable, but I actually enjoy the episode. I don't skip it, but it's not important for the story as such. It's important, I suppose, in some way to Paul's character development, but as far as the story, it's not.
Well, she doesn't actually say definitively whether it happened. At the end of the episode, she just tells Malcolm that, well, you wanted a story, so I gave you a story. And she doesn't confirm if it was true or not.
Yeah, that's true. I just I like to believe that it's true, and I enjoy it as such. So,
definitely way more fun that way, for sure.
But at the end of the episode, T'Pol takes out the purse.
That's right.
So it basically confirms it.
Yep, good enough for me.
So, yeah, I mean, I like it. It's a bit slow-paced. It kind of gives you a break in all the action, and a little bit of character development. And, yeah, I thought it was really well done. Good episode.
Excellent. The next episode is Minefield, third of the season, 29th of the series, date unknown, directed by James A. Contner. Written by John Chaban. Original air date October 2nd, 2002. Enterprise snags a cloaked mine and Lieutenant Reed and Captain Archer race to disable it during first contact with the Romulan Star Empire. I like this episode. I like the Romulans. I really loved the design of their bird of prey that they had in this episode. Looked fantastic. Curtis, your thoughts?
Really liked it. For the same reasons, I love the Romulans, and just the way that the cinematography captured that Romulan ship when it was finally revealed, like, it looks like an old Romulan ship to us, but it still looked like intimidating.
Yep.
You know, it had presence, it had gravitas. I don't know how they did that, but they pulled it off, and it was super cool. I can't remember which one of us, I don't want to guess wrong, so I'm not going to guess. One of us did like Malcolm Reed. We named it as our favorite character, or one of our favorite characters, when we did the first episode for Enterprise.
Jeez, it was not me.
Somebody would.
it might have been me. Actually, I think it was me because I like Malcolm. I like Malcolm.
I was gonna guess Ragnar too, and I'm glad I didn't.
I would have been insulted.
That's why I thought better of it. You have brought
shame and dishonor to this podcast,
but I didn't, thankfully. I kind of enjoy Malcolm Reed in this episode more than I do in other episodes because he almost has a personality. He's grasping at it. He's almost got
it. Is it because he almost dies?
Yes. But it's not the only time he almost dies, thank God.
Yeah. Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I love this episode. I'm a big fan of Romulans in general. They have a very unique and very full culture in a lot of ways. They're definitely like a really cool sort of adaptation of Vulcans, which I'm glad they did. And that particular, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is called the Mogwai or something, like a weird name like that. That's the name of the class of that Romulan ship. And it's definitely one of my favorite Romulan ships. It's just, it's sleek, it's clean. It has the same, feel that Romulan ships will always have. Just that they mean business, and if you don't move on, they will mess your day up.
But it's not an overstated ship.
No, and that's the best part. It's subtle, and it's sleek. I don't know, it's badass, is what it is.
It's quietly dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I thought it was a good episode. There was some good character development with Reed. He kind of, like you said, almost portrayed a real personality. And there was some real moments of nail biting there. For a moment there, I was like, is he going to die? Is he going to live? Who knows? But it's going to be fun to watch either way. But yeah. Great episode. I wouldn't skip this one. This is on my watch list.
Absolutely. And Ragnar, your thoughts?
I was sad that he didn't die. I don't have a whole lot else to say, honestly.
All right.
We can just leave it at that.
The next episode is fourth of the season, 30th overall, and that's Dead Stop. Date unknown. Directed by Roxanne Dawson, also known as B'Elanna Torres from Star Trek Voyager. Written by Mike Sussman and Phyllis Strawn, original air date October 9th, 2002. Heavily damaged by the Romulan mine, the Enterprise is repaired by an unmanned and automated sentient alien repair station. Also voiced by Roxanne Dawson. It was all right. One of the problems with Enterprise that I said right from the beginning is with this being the first ship out in the, going out into space, it's not like, the Enterprise, any other Enterprise that can go to a starbase for repairs, they have nowhere to go. Unless it's a Vulcan, repair station or they go back to Earth.
Yeah, who wants to go to Vulcan for help?
Yeah, exactly. But then, this space station just kind of showed up and on their way and very nicely repaired their ship. But of course, all is not as it appears. And we almost lost Mayweather, I think, in this episode. Not the worst episode, not the best episode. It was all right. Ragnar, your thoughts?
I got to kind of just say the same thing. Not the worst episode, not the best episode. To be perfectly honest, I don't really remember it. So I probably was screwing around on my phone when I watched it. I'll just say,
All right. Richard, your thoughts?
I actually really like this episode. It has a cool concept. For some reason, in my memory, I can't tell if this is the episode that makes me think of this episode, or if there was another episode in another Star Trek series that had something similar, and this is just sort of based on that. I can't remember. For some reason, there's a little, like, little stick in my memory that says that maybe Voyager had a similar situation or another show. Either way, I thought it was really cool, and I enjoyed it. It's not the most, like, energetic or fast-paced episode, but it's definitely one that you could skip if you want, but it's kind of cool, and I dig it. And I like Travis Mayweather, and I would have been sad if he disappeared from the ship.
See, I kind of feel like Travis was sort of a, like, an underdeveloped character. Like, he obviously has a backstory, and it's actually a fairly interesting one.
And he's a good actor.
And he's well acted, but he just, like, he's so bland. They never do anything with him. He could die and be recast, and it wouldn't affect the show one iota. Interesting. And I always thought that was kind of a shame, because he just felt underused to me.
Yeah.
I want to know what's funny about that, Ragnar, is Mayweather's actor said exactly that to Richard and I at a Burger King in the Rio in Las Vegas. He sat down next to us to enjoy his burger at the Whopper Bar. Cool. And we said hi, and he was gracious enough to answer a couple questions before chowing down. And we asked him, like, Richard asked him what his favorite episode was, and it was the one where he goes back to his, like, his family's ship or whatever.
Yeah,
and that's where, like,
he gets to actually do anything.
Yeah, and he felt like that's when his character finally got to be, like, kind of fleshed out and stuff. So you're thinking the same thing that that actor was thinking of that episode, I bet you.
Huh. Well, all right. Then I'm going to say I just stand by it.
Attaboy.
And I think that that's an issue with not just Enterprise, but with Voyager. Like, I really felt that, you know, they only had a few characters that they focused on, and everyone else was just kind of there.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem with Star Trek, is that they tend to focus on their, like, their big three or their big four. Yeah.
Is in this case, they're Archer, T'Pol, and Trip.
Yeah, yeah. So in this series, those are the big three. I think I mentioned this last time we talked a little bit about it. Like, Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, I think they had the most screen time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Picard, Data, Riker had the most screen time, more or less, in TNG. So they always focus on those characters. But for the most part, other series did put more effort into, you know, their other characters. Like, Scotty. Scotty had a great screen time, and they did a lot with him. Geordi, Worf, you know, like, they could have done more with Travis Mayweather. He was an underutilized resource.
I would point something out, though. We only got four seasons of Enterprise, and it got, every Star Trek has sort of a rocky start. Enterprise had what I would consider to be a slightly rockier start, even than TNG or Voyager. By the end of Voyager, we had gotten to know everybody. There were Neelix episodes, Doctor episodes, Tuvok, Ensign Kim, Tom Paris. We got to know all of them. And same thing for Next Generation. You know, we didn't even get to really know Geordi very well until, what, the second or third season? And then we started getting Geordi episodes. I think that, you know, unfortunately, Mayweather's just one of those characters that suffered from not really being given his chance because the series came to an end earlier than usual.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of the problem there, too. You're right.
Yeah, that...
Like, if we could have seen it play out for seven seasons, I think that we wouldn't be able to say that about Travis Mayweather. But we'll never know, so...
And maybe that's what the writers were banking on, because Enterprise was the first Star Trek series to be canceled since the original series.
Well, I could see that. Like, you don't want to... You can't just blow your load all over the audience in the first two seasons with everything. You got to save some stuff. You got to bank some stuff. Otherwise, you get, you know, the Masaka episode from TNG.
You know what? Masks, I enjoy, but I'm a weird one, so don't worry about my opinion.
All right. Does anyone else have any thoughts on this episode? I can't remember who I all went to.
I didn't go yet.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'll go if nobody else has anything. So for me, it was kind of, weirdly enough, this was the first episode that, standing alone by itself, felt like a Star Trek episode to me. It had all the ingredients, like all of the pieces of the plot were there. They were in the right order, and they moved along at the right pace, accelerated where they needed to, and slowed down where they needed to. And I appreciated that about this episode. But I have a big problem with the technology behind that repair station having existed at that point in the timeline. It simply doesn't make sense that it would exist back then and then would never exist again. And we know that because in the Dominion War, there were all these problems with shipyards and, you know, they didn't have enough people to do repairs and all this other stuff. It's just, I don't know. It's the machine is a little bit Deus Ex Machina for me, and that rubs me the wrong way. But as a, like, if you just put this episode all by itself in a vacuum, it's an enjoyable Star Trek episode.
All right.
Yeah. Well said. Well said.
Yeah. The next episode is A Night in Sick Bay, fifth of the season, 31st of the series, date unknown. Directed by David Strayton, written by Rick Berman and Brandon Braga. Original air date, October 16th, 2002. The captain's beagle, Porthos, becomes ill from an alien pathogen, and Captain Archer frets in sickbay, waiting for him to recover. I got nothing, guys. I skipped this one on the rewatch, and I do not remember anything about this episode.
I watched it 2 weeks ago, and I don't either.
Well, all I got to say is that I really like Phlox, and if this episode was done as a 5-minute short clip, it would have been awesome.
But the 5 minutes, like, being Phlox and Archer chasing moths around sick.
Yeah, and Phlox showing off all his weird plants and bugs and creatures.
Totally. You
know, like, I'd be like, cool, because those parts were kind of interesting. But as a whole, it was like, okay, I watched 5 minutes. I got my kicks. Oh, there's still 45 minutes to go. Oh,
they should have delivered this episode. We all know
the dog's not going to die. They're not going to kill the dog. Like, oh.
If they turned it into like a 6-minute short and delivered it via like a card with a QR code on it at the bottom of a block of cereal that took you to a YouTube video, that's the way to do this episode.
Yeah. Or, you know, if they had have actually killed the dog, they would have been like, wow, they went there. Holy, I didn't think they'd do that.
Although, but I got to admit, at the end where we had like Captain Archer wearing some weird getup, running a chainsaw, doing so, like, I was laughing so hard at that. It was almost worth sitting through the episode.
Was that this episode?
That was this episode.
Yeah.
Because Porthos urinated on a tree. That's why they wouldn't give him give Phlox the cure or whatever, until Archer did this big like ritual of apology, because apparently peeing on a tree is like sacrosanct. I don't know.
Yeah,
I like I said, I watched it 2 weeks ago. I can barely tell you about it.
Yeah.
I like this episode. I am,
because of course you do.
I'm invested in Porthos because he's my favorite beagle. I mean, I used to play this like silly mobile game, and there was a dog portion of it, and the beagle I named Porthos, of course. Cool. And yeah, it's also, I think, the episode where Archer realizes that he's sexually attracted to T'Pol. So that was a thing. And then the whole, like,
I think you're right.
I guess I think so too. And then the whole chainsaw thing was just like, for me, it was sort of like slapstick humor, you know?
Yeah. Like, it suddenly became an Abbott and Costello skit for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And I don't know. I thought it was cool. That's about it, though. Another one that you could skip if you didn't want to waste your time.
Oh, yeah, I definitely skipped that one. All right, well, the next episode is episode 6 of the season, 32 of the series, Marauders. Date unknown, directed by Michael Viger. Teleplay by David Wilcox. Story by Rick Berman and Brian Braga. Original air date, October 30th, 2002. Captain Archer barters for deuterium from a mining colony plagued by Klingon marauders who are seeking deuterium as well. It was an all right episode. You know, one of those episodes where, you know, you got to fight against the bully. And I'm just looking here. One of the guys who played one of the Klingons, his name is Pee-wee Piemonte. That is like the only time besides Pee-wee Herman I've seen that name, Pee-wee, used on a person.
I did not know there were two Pee-wees.
Yep, there's another Pee-wee out there. And yeah, that's all I got. Let's go with Richard. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, it's a standard fight the bully episode. We've seen this trope in many, many shows.
Yep.
I didn't like that the Klingons were, like, basically Pataks. They were jerks, you know? But to be honest, I'm not at all surprised. Klingons are kind of assholes, and that's okay. It was an interesting episode. It was kind of fun to watch. It also shows off the Mechleth, which is one of my favorite fighting weapons in general, and one of the best fighting weapons in Star Trek, because Batleths are actual trash to fight with. I don't know if you've looked into, like, sword fighting and stuff, but Batleth would be terrible, but a Mechleth could work.
Oh, yeah. Batleth would really be stupid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Batleth is a wall hanger. A Mechleth is, let's go to battle. Let's do this.
Let's get her done.
Exactly. Aside from that, I watch it, but also skippable.
Excellent. Ragnar, your thoughts?
Well, everything Richard said, and also the addition of The Mandalorian did it better.
Yes. Yeah.
But at least they had Klingons and fighting, so, you know, not a bad episode.
And, I mean, this one did have the feel of, like, an old Western.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis, your thoughts?
Hence why The Mandalorian did it better.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, at the risk of echoing everyone else, you know, it's one of those episodes that follows the formula. But it's not just a Star Trek formula. It's a formula from literally every other show. Thinking back, again, I just watched this 2 weeks ago, but for some reason my brain wants to put Tom Paris into it for some reason. I don't know. This one's a nap episode for me, big time.
Excellent. And I think everyone's went, right?
Yep.
All right. The next episode is the 7th. Seventh episode of the season, 33rd of the series, date unknown, directed by David Livingston. Once again, written by Rick Berman and Brian Braga. Original air date, November 6, 2002. Subcommander T'Pol is reactivated as a Vulcan intelligence agent, reawakening a dark secret from her past. I got nothing on this episode. I totally missed this one. I have no recollection of this episode. Just looking at it, Bruce Davison plays a fugitive, Minos. He's a Canadian actor. He played Senator Kelly in the X-Men movies.
Yeah,
and that's about all I got. Curtis, your thoughts?
Not a lot. This piece of T'Pol's past is relevant exactly for this episode, and it doesn't really come up again that I remember. And that sort of just makes the whole thing kind of an exercise in futility for me. If it had been revisited, you know, like they did with O'Brien when he had that undercover time and then he went looking for the wife, like,
yeah,
it tied in later. That worked out. This was just sort of one and done. Maybe it's because they didn't have enough seasons to come back to it, but
yeah,
I don't know. With what we got, it just doesn't seem that relevant to me. Seems like a filler.
Yeah, it's definitely possible that maybe this was, you know, laying the groundwork for something to be used in the future. But like you said, you know, they missed out on three more seasons that the other Star Treks that preceded it, besides the original series, had. So, I mean, 26 episodes a season, that's quite a few episodes that they didn't get to make.
Yes, indeed.
Maybe they would have addressed this. Richard, your thoughts?
Again, this is another one that I enjoyed. A little bit of backstory on T'Pol. You know, she's had a long and, you know, storied career. But also, I just want to say that the episode title is insanely unique. Love it. Being the seventh episode called The Seventh. And then, other than that, I watch this one, you know, because I enjoy such weird nonsense. But another skippable episode, not a standout episode. But aside from that, yeah, that's pretty much it.
And Ragnar, your thoughts?
I think that this episode could have started a series of episodes that could have been really interesting, but it's kind of just a one-off. I'm not going to lie, I fell asleep watching this episode, and I had to rewatch it. So in my brain, this episode is really long, but in fact, it's standard length. that's kind of all I got to say about it.
All right. The next episode is 8th of the season, 34th of the series, and that is The Communicator, Date Unknown, directed by James A. Contner. Story by Rick Berman and Brana Braga, teleplay by Andre Bormanis. Original air date November 13th, 2002. After an away mission, Lieutenant Reed discovers that his communicator was lost on a pre-war planet. He and Captain Archer are then captured trying to retrieve it. I did watch this one. It's one of those, you can pass on this episode. Archer, I think, gets to kiss the girl in this episode, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, that's about, I don't really remember anything else. Richard, your thoughts, sir?
Honestly, meh, I didn't really enjoy this one. For me, it felt like kind of a ripoff of, or maybe it was the original of the two, but Stargate Atlantis did like a similar episode, I think, years later, and I like that one better. And this one, just like, meh. I usually skip this one. Not my favorite. There's nothing here that like really stands out, and there's nothing here that is like important to the storyline, you know?
Yeah. Ragnar, your thoughts?
Well, if Richard didn't like it, you can very easily deduce that I really didn't like it. So, yeah, it was kind of boring.
Yeah. And Curtis, your thoughts, sir?
It's the Enterprise version of the same episode we watched in TNG where Riker went down and he had been surgically altered, but they were in like the final stages and they did end up bringing one of their scientists up to the ship, and Riker was admitted to a hospital and Riker kissed the girl. I don't know if Archer did, but when Riker did it, he did. I think he actually totally banged that alien chick. She wouldn't let him escape. She wanted to help him, but she was like, you have to make love to me first. So this is just the Enterprise version of that. Again, it's one of those formula episodes. I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with it. It's just, it's been done.
Yep.
There's nothing special.
And that's one of the,
say it, but.
And just to go off on a quick tangent, that's one of the great mysteries of Star Trek Next Generation. Did Riker have sex with that alien? Or did he pull like an Ivanova from Babylon 5 when she's supposed to have sex with that ambassador and she just does a dance?
Oh man, that was absolutely classic.
Yep.
100% classic. I'm just sad that you guys probably don't catch the reference, but fucking classic.
Yeah, but knowing Riker, I mean, he's a hound dog, so I'm thinking he did.
Well, but it basically said it. They basically came up from the floor as if they had just finished, so yeah.
Dude, he like violated the Prime Directive to bang a genderless person.
That is true.
Chick, but I guess it doesn't really make sense.
Not all heroes wear capes.
It's true, but I mean, if he doesn't even draw that line, there's no way he's going to draw the line at the alien chick who's physically hurling herself upon him.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. who was played by B.B. Newirth. Is that how you say your last name?
Oh, that's from, right. From Newirth.
From Cheers. Cheers. Yep. Yep.
Lilith.
Yeah, Lilith from Cheers. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going back a ways.
Oh, yeah.
Oof.
All right. So the next episode, episode 9, 35th of the series, Singularity. The date is August 14th, 2152, directed by Patrick Norris, written by Chris Black. Original air date, November 20th, 2002. Enterprise charts a course through a trinary star system to investigate a black hole, and the crew find themselves suffering from a condition similar to OCD. Again, I totally missed this episode. I'm sure I watched it 20 years ago, or 19 years ago. But I did not catch this on the rewatch. I have nothing to add to this episode. Curtis, what are your thoughts?
I love this episode. I find it extraordinarily entertaining. Any of the episodes where you get like something weird that's affecting the whole crew, like happened in the caves in season one of Enterprise, or like happened with the aphasia in Deep Space Nine. Was it aphasia? Is that the right word? The one where they were trying to speak, but the wrong words are coming out. Yeah. So it's in that same vein. It's very enjoyable. They get to do things that they wouldn't normally do. And watching Tucker obsess about making Captain Archer his new chair was hilarious. And this episode shows us the original idea behind what would eventually become Red Alert. Because Malcolm Reed starts thinking like, you know, we always get caught with our pants down. We need something that can, like, polarize the hall, power up weapons, and call everybody to battle stations all at once. And then he was trying to figure out what to call it. And one of his ideas was a Reed Alert, which, of course, was supposed to tip us off that, like, oh, that's where Red Alert comes from, because Red Alert does the same things. And then they ended up calling it Tactical Alert and actually keeping it moving forward in the show. But it's because everyone was infected with this, like, compulsive OCD thing that was going on. That's what led Lieutenant Reed to have the idea in the first place that then later became Red Alert for the whole Federation fleet. So I think that was super cool about this episode. It's a fun episode. Don't sleep through it.
All right. I'll have to go back and check this out because I totally missed it. And actually looking at some of the upcoming episodes, I think I missed quite a few of these. Richard, your thoughts, sir.
I too thought it was great. I definitely enjoyed it more than the camping episode on the planet that Curtis mentioned in season one. This one was just really cool. I love like space stuff, and this is entirely about space stuff. Trinary system, black hole, all that cool stuff.
And it's the one where Hoshi's trying to perfect that dish too, isn't it? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I just really enjoyed it. It was fun, and it kind of, this is, might sound weird, but it almost gave Reed a real personality when he went into his like OCD mode. He like actually, you know, stepped it up a little bit as far as like his real personality coming out. And I know that some people don't like him, but like he really like put it forth in this episode, and he really went at it, and I enjoyed that.
You know, and I don't like Lieutenant Reed, but I loved him in this episode. You're right.
Yeah, see, so there you go. So that's something that that, you know, we can enjoy about this episode, and it was just really cool and really fun, and I don't skip this one.
All right. Well, I do like Lieutenant Reed, so there you go. I definitely have to check this out. And Ragnar, your thoughts, sir?
Well, I think it's sort of a fun concept, but I didn't love the execution, because I think we've seen this kind of idea done before, and I don't think they brought enough new to the game to really make it exciting. So it's okay. Probably the cast had a lot of fun making it, getting to, you know, go a little bit outside their normal roles.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. It didn't blow me away.
All right. Nothing wrong with that. All right, so the next episode is Vanishing Point. 10th of the season, 36th of the series, date unknown, directed by David Straten, written by Rick Berman and Brandon Braga, original air date November 27th, 2002. After her first trip through the transporter, Ensign Sato finds herself becoming incorporeal, with the crew believing she has perished. Again, I got nothing. Ragnar, your thoughts?
I like the overall idea of it. And I gotta say, I don't really like the character of Hoshi. I quite like the actress who plays her. And I was watching Bosch under Chris's recommendation recently, and she shows up in, I think, season 3 as the chief of police's girlfriend, and she's so hot in that show. It kills me, because I didn't really get that sense from her in Enterprise. So as a whole, this episode didn't really do much for me, but like all of season 2, it's not bad, it's just not great.
Yeah, she's great in Bosch. And she still looks fantastic, you know, 20 years later.
I would say hotter, if that's possible.
Yeah. Well, she was pretty hot in the parallel universe episodes.
Yes, that is the one time where you saw Hoshi and went, Hoshi.
Yeah.
But as a whole, I just didn't like the character very much. I think the actress is perfectly fine. Just the character didn't do it for me.
They definitely needed to flesh her out a little bit, unfortunately. Again, you know, they didn't get the seasons to, you know, where we would have maybe seen, you know, a different side of her. And yeah, she's in the current season of Bosch, which is the last season, unfortunately. But yeah, it's a great show. Anyway, so I'll take us back from Tangent Town and Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I actually really enjoyed this episode. It was definitely like a Hoshi episode, and she was trying so hard, and I get it, because I put myself in that place, I'd be losing my mind, and I don't even know Morse code, so I'd be screwed. Yeah, it was a good episode. I definitely enjoyed some of the interaction between Tucker and Hoshi when they're on that planet. So that was fun. And then it was also sort of like a technobabble type episode where she was stuck inside the transporter beam. Because, you know, as we know, the transporter is, you know, entirely new, and, you know, weird things will happen. So they have a bit more of that... that creative liberty to make shit up on the fly when it comes to new stuff like the teleporter or the transporter. Sorry. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Excellent. Another one I'll go back and rewatch. Curtis, your thoughts?
Holy crap. Bosch has Titus Welliver and Lance Reddick in it.
Yes.
I'm going to go watch that freaking show. Both of those guys are from Lost. Mm-hmm. So like you've got two Lost shows. Seasons of show and other shows. But for me, everything revolves around Lost. but back to the Star Trek version. Like Ragnar, I think it's a cool idea. I'm not sure that this was the way to do it. But fun fact, Hoshi's father is played by the same actor who plays Buck Bokai in Space Nine, the baseball player when they all had the figments of their imagination. Aphasia was when when they all imagined stuff. Like Rumpelstiltskin showed up, that weird rift of Jadzia showed up, the baseball player, and the version of Jadzia that liked Bashir.
Yeah,
y'all remember that episode?
Yeah,
so So the baseball player is the same actor who plays Hoshi's father, and that's the only thing that stood out about this episode to me at all.
I knew he was familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just looking him up right now. Yeah, he's been on a lot of stuff. Yep, Buck Bokai. Yeah, he's one of those actors that you just see him in a lot of different things. Like, he's just, he gets around.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who hasn't went yet? I think everyone's went.
You're all
went? I think okay. That was all of us.
All right. All right, so the next episode is episode 11 of the season, 37th of the series, Precious Cargo. The date is September 12th, 2152, directed by David Livingston, story by Rick Berman and Brannon Braga, teleplay by David A. Goodman. Original air date December 11th, 2002. While answering a distress call, Commander Tucker is kidnapped along with a demanding alien princess. Again, this is one that I missed, but just clicking on the episode, the actress who plays the princess, her name is Padma Lakshmi. Wow, is she hot. Holy smokes.
Oh, so hot.
Yeah, like I'm just looking at the episode breakdown on Wikipedia, and wow, she is hot. So I'm definitely going back and rewatching that. Curtis, your thoughts, sir?
Well, if you like the, the more dominant, demanding type of woman, you will love that episode. I think it's all right. I like Tucker. I like watching his episodes. He's always getting into, I mean, he's the only guy who's been pregnant, for Christ's sake. He's always getting into some hijinks. And this is just one of those Tucker's hijinks episodes. I don't have a lot to say about it. I mean, you knew they were going to get down and get freaky on that planet. You knew that had to happen.
Yeah, it's Tucker.
An enjoyable enough episode. Sometimes I do the dishes while I'm watching it. You know, it doesn't require your full attention, but it's good enough.
Well, I do like a Tucker hijinks episode, so I'll definitely check that out. Ragnar, your thoughts?
Okay. First off, I gotta repeat it. That Padma Lakshmi, boy, she's just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, short of that, I don't think it was a great episode. I think it had all the ingredients for a great episode, but it just felt kind of flat for me. I think there was more they could have done with this, and it comes off kind of cliched and predictable for me, anyways. Like 5 minutes into the episode, I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure I know how everything's going to go, and then that is how everything went. Not a bad episode, and certainly worth watching just for the actress who appears, but as a whole, I don't think they nailed it on this one.
All right. Richard, your thoughts?
I'm more or less going to disagree with everyone on this particular episode. I don't enjoy it. I don't like the character portrayed. I found her to be difficult to watch and annoying. I typically skip this one. I love Tucker, and he's great, and the only reason I probably had any enjoyment for the episode. It was sort of a cliched ripoff of a similar episode in TNG, where there's a dignitary that comes out of stasis, and, you know, the whole Picard, you know, dignitary chick.
Yeah.
Was it the Metamorph?
Yep. Yep.
Because she didn't... I don't think she was the one that changed. I think she was the one that connected with Picard, and then she was stuck with this old geezer dude.
Yes. Ulrich of Vald.
Ulrich of Vald. The Metamorph, I believe, was the Boston Crusher one. Episode. Is it the same episode?
I'll bet you $100.
We're going to look that up later, because I'm curious now. Well, I don't have $100 to bet, otherwise I totally would.
I'll bet you a blowjob.
Who's going to get it, me or you? I don't...
Winner's choice.
Either way, choice. Can I watch?
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't like this episode. It's not my favorite, and she's all right, but not really for me in that way.
Well, this seems to be, like you said, with the meeting, I think it was called, right, from TNG? with Ulrich Volt and what's her name from the X-Men movies, Famke Janssen. Very similar, by the sounds of it, because I probably watched this, like I said, 19 years ago. But also an original series episode, the I want to say Elas of Troyes or whatever. Like that princess that they have to transport, and she's like smacking around people, and then finally Kirk smacks her back, and then she falls in love with him and stuff. Yeah, it kind of sounds like that type of episode. But anyway, anyone else I haven't got to yet?
No.
All right. Episode 12 of the season, 38th of the series, and The Catwalk, the date of the during the series is September 18th, 2152, directed by Michael Viger, written by Mike Sussman and Phyllis Strawn, original air date December 18th, 2002. The Enterprise crew take refuge inside one of the warp nacelles to avoid an inescapable radiation belt. I do remember, I didn't catch this one on my rewatch, I kind of remember it from 19 years ago. I like these type of episodes where the realism of space travel plays a part. You know, like they have to basically hang out in this nacelle, otherwise they will die. And you know, those kind of dangers in space that are I find interesting. When they go for science realism rather than science fantastic, I guess. But other than that, I don't got anything else to say. Curtis, your thoughts?
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Like, they're confronted with a problem that they can't just technologically MacGuffin their way out of. They had to, like, come up with a creative and new solution that there wasn't a prior procedure for. Tucker just whipped this out of his hat because they needed it.
Yeah.
And they executed it, and it just happened to mostly work out, and it didn't quite go the way they planned, but I don't know. It's an enjoyable enough episode. Unique idea for sure, but I don't know. I don't have anything bad to say about it, but I don't rave about it either.
All right. Richard, your thoughts?
I thought it was most enjoyable. Again, more space stuff. I thought it was super cool. It's not necessarily like the best episode, but I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was fun. And I thought the B plot was really cool with those dudes that showed up, and they were like, "Oh, I'm in trouble," but really they were just hiding from the militia. But yeah, I thought it was super cool.
All right, Ragnar.
I didn't love it. Surprise, surprise. I like the idea. It did make it feel more realistic, like this is something a crew would actually have to face. And then I did like how it was sort of a con, essentially, by these aliens. But I don't know, as a whole, it just didn't sizzle for me. It was okay. Not great, just okay.
All right.
Which, you know, I know I'm sounding like a broken record here, but that's what season two is for me. There's a couple of great episodes, but as a whole, they still didn't hit their stride yet.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way, to be honest. Like, and especially to these last few episodes, like, I didn't catch any of them on my rewatch, so. But I will go back and check them out. All right, so the last episode we're going to be talking about today for this episode is episode 13, 39th of the series, and it's called Dawn, date unknown, directed by B'Elanna Torres, Roxanne Dawson, written by John Chaban, original air date January 8th, 2003. Commander Tucker is fired upon by an Arconian ship and is then stranded on a planet with his attacker. Yeah, I got nothing. I'm not gonna lie. This sounds like a familiar trope. This kind of sounds like I can't remember that movie. there was a movie similar to that, like, oh, what was it called? Enemy Mine, I want to say. But, you know, this, I don't know, like, kind of, it sounds very familiar to me. Ragnar, what are your thoughts?
Repeat what I said about the last episode. Again, it's just they're taking all these classic tropes we've seen in other Star Treks and other shows, even shows of other genres. We've seen this idea done, and they're just not giving it enough oomph to make it stand out on its own. It's just like, yeah. Well, this is Enterprise's version of this idea, and it just doesn't have enough originality to it to really catch me. Season 3, they get better on this, and season 4, they finally hit their stride, and then the show gets canceled. So Enterprise is kind of a shame, because it took them just way, way, way too long to get there. And so I found season 1 and 2 very hard to get through, and there's a lot of episodes that are kind of like 3 out of 5. Not bad, not great. You know, just there. And so this is another one that's like that for me.
And the unfortunate thing with Enterprise is that it was on UPN, which was a network that was trying to compete against, you know, the other networks. Whereas I think if this had been a syndicated series like TNG or Deep Space Nine, I think they would have went the 7 seasons. I think there was enough here to keep it going. Like, I think television stations would have still picked it up. Like, ratings don't really matter on syndication. It's more selling airtime, commercials and stuff. So as long as, you know, people keep watching Enterprise, enough people keep watching it, that's, you know, the syndicated stations will keep buying it. And I think they would have. But because this was a network, UPN, you know, just wanted to get rid of it, unfortunately, because the ratings just weren't there, unfortunately. But anywho, Richard, your thoughts, sir.
I have very little to say about it. It was okay. I liked the idea of, like, you know, upgrading autopilot in the shuttle pods and stuff. That was kind of cool. I didn't like that the name of the aliens was
Arconian.
The name was Arconian, but it was kind of a ripoff of Iconian.
Yes.
And Iconians are iconic in Star Trek, and Arconians are just like, meh, it's like the boring cousin. You know, what? They could have picked, like, a cooler name. Like, give me some, like, Zimblad Doodledoids or something like that. That would have been way better.
Well,
I don't even know if I've ever said that phrase before, but Zimblad Doodledoids sounds awesome.
I still want to see the Chris aliens, you know, Chris and aliens, put them together. You got the Chris aliens,
you know, like an actual race though. In some shows.
No, it was on, the Next Generation. It was,
Chris aliens and the
wormhole episode.
Oh,
what's his name was representing them. And I always thought that, you know, I want to see these aliens. Because I mean, it works. You could go the Curtis aliens, or the Richard aliens. You know, Rich aliens.
Rich aliens. Jesus. That sounds cool.
Could you imagine an entire race of me?
That'd be worse than a race of me. Goddamn.
Curtis, your thoughts on this episode?
It's all right. I mean, it's I think it's familiar because it's basically Geordi and the Romulan again. Romulan didn't have a communicator or something, and he had Geordi's visor, but the visor was busted, and they were able to use, like, parts from one, parts of the other, and then send a distress signal. It's like, whoever picks us up first has a hostage, I guess.
Yep.
You know? So, yeah, it's just another one of those ones where it's like, we've seen this Star Trek episode before. This one was all right. It, you know, it had its small bits of humor here and there, and I mean, the girlfriends all got to watch Tucker take his shirt off, so I'm sure that was fun for some of them.
I'm sure there were some wolf whistles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's about all I got. Not much to say. It's all right.
All right. I think everyone's went, so we're going to put a pin in this pin in this season. We've reached the halfway mark. But before we go, let's play that little game of where we can find you on the internet. And Curtis, where can we find you, sir?
Right frickin' here, y'all.
Excellent. Richard, where can we find you, sir?
Also right here. I have little to no presence on the internet. I check out Twitter sometimes, but honestly, it's a waste of time. Twitter, Facebook, all of that. I'm just stuck right here, and I'm digging it.
Yeah, for me, Twitter's kind of like turned into like Pornhub. It's like all these cosplayers that I used to follow are now like just doing nudes because they want people to pay for their
OnlyFans. Gotta get those OnlyFans subs, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
But anyway, Ragnar, where can we find you, sir?
Well, I'm not particularly active on social media except to promote my business, but RagnarTheTrader.com is my main website, and I'm on Facebook and Instagram and also Etsy as Ragnar the Trader. And now that some pandemic restrictions have been lifted, I am starting to return to trade shows, and I have a show every weekend for the next 4 weekends in a row in both Alberta and Manitoba. So maybe it's back to work.
Excellent. Excellent. That's good to hear. And yeah, we're going to be doing a meetup, the Truck 171 crew, this weekend. Going for some Chinese food. So
some darn good Chinese
food. So yeah, if you want to check out my social medias, I'm definitely going to be taking some pictures of us as a group and putting them on my social medias at Chris Lock 171. I'm on Facebook.
Which just to interrupt is everyone will then see the reason why we are a podcast and not a YouTube channel.
Exactly. So yeah, you can check out the pictures coming up after this weekend. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I guess, at ChrisLock171. We have a group called the Pop Culture Pub Podcast, which this podcast is part of the Pop Culture Pub Network. So yeah, I'll be posting pictures there too. So be sure to check that out. All right. Well, on behalf of myself, on behalf of Ragnar, Curtis, and Richard, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to Trek 171. This was our Enterprise Season 2.0 episode, and we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.